This treatise written by John Bunyan is entitled Prayer. I will pray with the Spirit and with understanding also, or a discourse touching prayer, wherein is discovered, spiritually enlightened to see the promises and to be encouraged. And he takes his text from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. On praying in the Spirit. Prayer is an ordinance of God, and that to be used both in public and private. Yea, such an ordinance as brings those that have the spirit of supplication into great familiarity with God, and is also so prevalent in action that it getteth of God, both for the person that prayeth and for them that are prayed for, great things. It is the opener of the heart of God, and the means by which the soul, though empty, is filled. By prayer, the Christian can open his heart to God, as to a friend, and obtain fresh testimony of God's friendship to him. I might spend the many words in distinguishing between public and private prayer, as also between that in the heart and that with the vocal voice. Something also might be spoken to distinguish between the gifts and graces of prayer, but eschewing this method, my business shall be at this time only to show you the very heart of prayer, without which all your lifting up, both of hands and eyes and voices, will be to no purpose at all. I will pray with the Spirit. The method that I shall go on in at this time shall be, first, to show you what true prayer is. Second, to show you what it is to pray with the Spirit. Third, what it is to pray with the Spirit and understanding also. And so fourthly, to make some short use and application of what shall be spoken. What prayer is. First, what true prayer is. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate, pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God hath promised, or according to the word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. In this description are these seven things. First, it is a sincere. Second, a sensible. Third, an affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through Christ. Fourth, by the strength or assistance of the Spirit. Fifth, for such things as God hath promised, or according to his word. Sixth, for the good of the church. Seventh, with submission and faith to the will of God. First, for the first of these, it is a sincere pouring out of the soul to God. Sincerity is such a grace as runs through all the graces of God in us, and through all the actings of a Christian, and hath the sway in them too, or else their actings are not anything regarded of God, and so of, and in prayer, of which particularly David speaks when he mentions prayer. I cried unto him, the Lord, with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer, according to Psalm 66 and verses 17 and 18. Part of the exercise of prayer is sincerity, without which God looks not upon it as prayer in a good sense, according to Psalm 16 and verses 1 through 4. Then you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, according to Jeremiah 29 and verses 12 and 13. The want of this made the Lord reject their prayers in Hosea 7 and verse 14, where he saith, they have not cried unto me with their heart, that is, in sincerity, when they howled upon their beds, but for a pretense, for a show and hypocrisy, to be seen of men, and applauded for the same they prayed. Sincerity was that which Christ commended in Nathanael when he was under the fig tree. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Probably this good man was pouring out of his soul to God in prayer under the fig tree, and that in a sincere and unfeigned spirit before the Lord. The prayer that hath this in it as one of the principal ingredients is the prayer that God looks at. Thus the prayer of the upright is his delight, according to Proverbs 15 and verse 8. And why must sincerity be one of the essentials of prayer which is accepted of God? But because sincerity carries the soul in all simplicity to open its heart to God, and to tell him the case plainly without equivocation, to condemn itself plainly without dissembling, to cry to God heartily without complimenting. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, according to Jeremiah 31 and verse 18. Sincerity is the same in a corner alone, as it is before the face of the world. It knows not how to wear two vizards, one for an appearance before men, and another for a short snatch in a corner. But it must have God, and be with him in the duty of prayer. It is not lip labor that it doth regard, for it is the heart that God looks at, and that which sincerity looks at, and that which prayer comes from, if it be that prayer which is accompanied with sincerity. Second, it is a sincere and sensible pouring out of the heart or soul. It is not, as many take it to be, even a few babbling, prating, complimentary expressions, but a sensible feeling there is in the heart. Prayer hath in it a sensibleness of diverse things, sometimes sense of sin, sometimes of mercy received, sometimes of the readiness of God to give mercy, and etc. 1. A sense of the want of mercy by reason of the danger of sin. The soul, I say, feels, and from feeling sighs, groans, and breaks at the heart. For right prayer bubbleth out of the heart when it is overpressed with griefs and bitterness, as blood is forced out of the flesh by reason of some heavy burden that lieth upon it, according to 1 Samuel 1 and verse 10, and Psalm 69 and verse 3. David roars, cries, weeps, faints at heart, fails at the eyes, loseth his moisture, and etc., according to Psalm 38 and verses 8 through 10. Hezekiah mourns like a dove, according to Isaiah 38 and verse 14. Ephraim bemoans himself, according to Jeremiah 31 and verse 18. Peter weeps bitterly, according to Matthew 26 and verse 75. Christ hath strong cryings and tears, according to Hebrews 5 and verse 7. And all this from a sense of the justice of God, the guilt of sin, the pains of hell and destruction. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then cried I unto the Lord, according to Psalm 116, and verses 3 and 4. And in another place, my sore ran in the night, according to Psalm 77 and verse 2. Again, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, according to Psalm 38 and verse 6. In all these instances, and in hundreds more that might be named, you may see that prayer carrieth in it a sensible feeling disposition, and that first from a sense of sin. 2. Sometimes there is a sweet sense of mercy received, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, enlivening, enlightening mercy, and etc. Thus David pours out his soul to bless and praise and admire the great God for his loving kindness to such poor vile wretches. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, according to Psalm 103 and verses 1 through 5. And thus is the prayer of saints sometimes turned into praise and thanksgiving, and yet our prayers still. This is a mystery. God's people pray with their praises As it is written, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, according to Philippians 4 and verse 6. A sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the sight of God. It prevails with him unspeakably. 3. In prayer there is sometimes in the soul a sense of mercy to be received. This again sets the soul all on a flame. Thou, O Lord of hosts, saith David, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray unto thee, according to 2 Samuel 7 and verse 27. This provoked Jacob, David, Daniel, with others, even a sense of mercies to be received, which caused them, not by fits and starts, nor yet in a foolish, frothy way, to babble over a few words written in a paper, but mightily, fervently, and continually to groan out their conditions before the Lord as being sensible. Sensible, I say, of their wants, their misery, and the willingness of God to show mercy, according to Genesis 32 and verses 10 and 11, and Daniel 9 and verses 3 and 4. A good sense of sin and the wrath of God, with some encouragement from God to come unto him, is a better common prayer book than that which is taken out of the papistical mass book, being the scraps and fragments of the devices of some popes, some friars, and I wot not what. Third, prayer is a sincere, sensible, and an affectionate pouring out of the soul to God. Oh, the heat, strength, life, vigor, and affection that is in right prayer! As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, according to Psalm 42 and verse 1. I have longed after thy precepts, according to Psalm 119 and verse 40. I have longed after thy salvation, according to Psalm 119 and verse 174. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God, according to Psalm 84 and verse 2. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times, according to Psalm 119 and verse 20. Mark ye here, my soul longeth, it longeth, it longeth, and etc. Oh, what affection is here discovered in prayer, the like you have in Daniel. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, according to Daniel 9 and verse 19. Every syllable carrieth a mighty vehemency in it. This is called the fervent or the working prayer by James. And so again, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, according to Luke 22 and verse 44. Or had his affections more and more drawn out after God for his helping hand. Oh, how wide are the most of men with their prayers from this prayer, that is, prayer, in God's account. Alas, the greatest part of men make no conscience at all of duty, and as for them that do, it is to be feared that many of them are very great strangers to a sincere, sensible, and affectionate pouring out of their hearts or souls to God, but even content themselves with a little lip labor and bodily exercise, mumbling over a few imaginary prayers. When the affections are indeed engaged in prayer, then the whole man is engaged, and that in such sort that the soul will spend itself to nothing, as it were, rather than it will go without the good desired, even communion and solace with Christ. And hence, it is that the saints have spent their strengths and lost their lives, rather than go without the blessing, according to Genesis 32 and verses 24 through 26, Psalm 38 and verses 9 and 10, and Psalm 69 and verse 3. All this is too evident by the ignorance, profaneness, and spirit of envy that reign in the hearts of those men that are so hot for the forms and not the power of praying. Scarce one of 40 among them know what it is to be born again, to have communion with the Father through the Son, to feel the power of grace sanctifying their hearts. But for all their prayers, they still live cursed, drunken, whorish, and abominable lives, full of malice, envy, deceit, persecuting of the dear children of God. Oh, what a dreadful afterclap is coming upon them, which all their hypocritical assembling themselves together with all their prayers shall never be able to help them against or shelter them from. Again, it is a pouring out of the heart or soul. There is, in prayer, an unbosoming of a man's self, an opening of the heart to God, an affectionate pouring out of the soul in requests, sighs, and groans. All my desire is before thee, saith David, and my groaning is not hid from thee, according to Psalm 38 and verse 9. And again, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, according to Psalm 42 and verses 2 through 4. Mark, I pour out my soul. It is an expression signifying that in prayer there goeth the very life and whole strength to God. As in another place, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him, according to Psalm 62 and verse 8. This is the prayer to which the promise is made for the delivering of a poor creature out of captivity and thraldom. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, according to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. Again, it is a pouring out of the heart or soul to God. This showeth also the excellency of the spirit of prayer. It is the great God to which it retires. When shall I come and appear before God? And it argueth that the soul that thus prayeth indeed sees an emptiness in all things under heaven, that in God alone there is rest and satisfaction for the soul. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, according to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5. So saith David, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear to me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth, according to Psalm 71 and verses 1 through 5. Many, in a wording way, speak of God, but right prayer makes God his hope, stay, and all. Right prayer sees nothing substantial and worth the looking after but God, and that, as I said before, it doth in a sincere, sensible, and affectionate way. Again, it is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ. This through Christ must needs be added, or else it is to be questioned whether it be prayer, though in appearance it be never so eminent or eloquent. Christ is the way through whom the soul hath admittance to God, and without whom it is impossible that so much as one desire should come into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, according to John 14 and verse 6. If ye shall ask anything in my name, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, I will do it, according to John 14 and verses 13 and 14. This was Daniel's way in praying for the people of God. He did it in the name of Christ. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake, according to Daniel 9 and verse 17. And so David, for thy name's sake, that is, for thy Christ's sake, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great, according to Psalm 25 and verse 11. But now it is not every one that maketh mention of Christ's name in prayer that doth indeed, and in truth, effectually pray to God in the name of Christ, or through him. This coming to God through Christ is the hardest part that is found in prayer. A man may more easily be sensible of his works, aye, and sincerely too desire mercy, and yet not be able to come to God by Christ. That man that comes to God by Christ, he must first have the knowledge of him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And so he that comes to God through Christ must be enabled to know Christ. Lord, saith Moses, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, according to Exodus 33 and verse 13. This Christ none but the Father can reveal, according to Matthew 11 and verse 27. And to come through Christ is for the soul to be enabled of God to shroud itself under the shadow of the Lord Jesus, as a man shroudeth himself under a thing for safeguard, according to Matthew 16 and verse 16. Hence it is that David so often terms Christ as shield, buckler, tower, fortress, rock of defense, and etc., according to Psalm 18 and verse 2, Psalm 27 and verse 1, and Psalm 28 and verse 1. Not only because by him he overcame his enemies, but because through him he found favor with God the Father. And so he saith to Abraham, fear not, I am thy shield, and etc., according to Genesis 15 and verse 1. The man then that comes to God through Christ must have faith by which he puts on Christ, and in him appears before God. Now he that hath faith is born of God, born again, and so becomes one of the sons of God, by virtue of which he is joined to Christ and made a member of him, according to John 1 and verse 12, and John 3 and verses 5 through 7. And therefore, secondly, he, as a member of Christ, comes to God. I say as a member of him, so that God looks on that man as a part of Christ, part of his body, flesh, and bones, united to him by election, conversion, illumination, the Spirit being conveyed into the heart of that poor man by God, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 30. So that now he comes to God in Christ's merits, in his blood, righteousness, victory, intercession, and so stands before him being accepted in his beloved, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 6. And because this poor creature is thus a member of the Lord Jesus, and under this consideration hath admittance to come to God, therefore by virtue of this union also is the Holy Spirit conveyed into him, whereby he is able to pour out himself, to wit, his soul, before God with his audience. And this leads me to the next, or fourth particular. Fourth, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ by the strength or assistance of the Spirit. For these things do so depend one upon another that it is impossible that it should be prayer without there be a joint concurrence of them. For though it be never so famous, yet without these things, it is only such prayer as is rejected of God. For without a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart to God, it is but lip labor. And if it be not through Christ, it falleth far short of ever sounding well in the ears of God. So also, if it be not in the strength and assistance of the Spirit, it is but like the sons of Aaron offering with strange fire, according to Leviticus 10 and verses 1 and 2. But I shall speak more to this under the second head, and therefore, in the meantime, that which is not petitioned through the teaching and assistance of the Spirit, it is not possible that it should be according to the will of God, according to Romans 8 and verses 26 through 27. Fifth, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Spirit for such things as God hath promised, and etc., according to Matthew 6 and verses 6 through 8. Prayer it is when it is within the compass of God's Word, and it is blasphemy, or at best vain babbling, when the petition is beside the book. David therefore still in his prayer kept his eye on the Word of God. My soul, saith he, cleaveth to the dust, quicken me according to thy word. And again, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word, according to Psalm 119 and verses 25 through 28. See also Psalm 119 and verses 41, 42, 58, 65, 74, 81, 82, 107, 147, 154, 169, and 170. And remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, according to Psalm 119 and verse 49. And indeed, the Holy Ghost doth not immediately quicken and stir up the heart of the Christian without, but by, with, and through the word, by bringing that to the heart, and by opening of that, whereby the man is provoked to go to the Lord, and to tell him how it is with him, and also to argue and supplicate according to the word. Thus it was with Daniel, that mighty prophet of the Lord. He, understanding by books that the captivity of the children of Israel was hard at an end, then according unto that word he maketh his prayer to God. I, Daniel, saith he, understood by books these the writings of Jeremiah, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face to the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, according to Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3. So that I say, as the Spirit is the helper and the governor of the soul, when it prayeth according to the will of God, so it guideth by and according to the word of God and his promise. Hence it is that our Lord Jesus Christ himself did make a stop, although his life lay at stake for it. I could now pray to my Father, and he should give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then must the Scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? According to Matthew 26, and verses 53 and 54. As who should say, were there but a word for it in the Scripture, I should soon be out of the hands of mine enemies. I should be helped by angels. But the Scripture will not warrant this kind of praying, for that saith otherwise. It is a praying then according to the word and promise. The Spirit by the word must direct, as well in the manner as in the matter of prayer. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. But there is no understanding without the word. For if they reject the word of the Lord, what wisdom is in them, according to Jeremiah 8 and verse 9? Sixth, for the good of the church. This clause reacheth in whatsoever tendeth either to the honor of God, Christ's advancement, or his people's benefit. For God and Christ and his people are so linked together that if the good of the one be prayed for, to wit, the church, the glory of God, an advancement of Christ must needs be included. For as Christ is in the Father, so the saints are in Christ, and he that toucheth the saints toucheth the apple of God's eye. And therefore pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and you pray for all that is required of you. For Jerusalem will never be in perfect peace until she be in heaven. And there is nothing that Christ doth more desire than to have her there. That also is the place that God through Christ hath given to her. He then that prayeth for the peace and good of Zion, where the church doth ask that in prayer which Christ hath purchased with his blood, and also that which the Father hath given to him as the price thereof. Now he that prayeth for this must pray for abundance of grace for the church, for help against all its temptations, that God would let nothing be too hard for it, and that all things might work together for its good, that God would keep them blameless and harmless, the sons of God, to his glory, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And this is the substance of Christ's own prayer in John 17. And all Paul's prayers did run that way, as one of his prayers doth eminently show. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, according to Philippians 1 and verses 9 through 11. But a short prayer, you see, and yet full of good desires for the church from the beginning to the end, that it may stand and go on, and that in the most excellent frame of spirit, even without blame, sincere and without offense, until the day of Christ, let its temptations or persecutions be what they will, according to Ephesians 1 and verses 16 through 21, Ephesians 3 and verses 14 through 19, and Colossians 1 and verses 9 through 13. Seventh, and because, as I said, prayer doth submit to the will of God, and say, Thy will be done, as Christ hath taught us, according to Matthew 6 and verse 10. Therefore, the people of the Lord in humility are to lay themselves and their prayers and all that they have at the foot of their God, to be disposed of by Him, as He in His heavenly wisdom seeth best. Yet not doubting, but God will answer the desire of His people that way that shall be most for their advantage and His glory. When the saints therefore do pray with submission to the will of God, it doth not argue that they are to doubt or question God's love and kindness to them. But because they at all times are not so wise, but that sometimes Satan may get that advantage of them, as to tempt them to pray for that which, if they had it, would neither prove to God's glory nor His people's good. Yet this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That is, we, asking in the spirit of grace and supplication, according to 1 John 5 and verses 14 and 15. For as I said before, that petition that is not put up in and through the Spirit, it is not to be answered, because it is beside the will of God. For the Spirit only knoweth that, and so consequently knoweth how to pray according to that will of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, according to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. But more of this hereafter. Thus you see first what prayer is. Now to proceed.